Thank you, Randy. Guys, I want to start with this memory I have from my childhood. And it goes something like this. I'm staring off into space, looking at something, when a person around me, maybe it was my parents or maybe a teacher, but they call out to me, you know, hey, Ethan, what you looking at? What are you looking at? And depending on what I was looking at, I might have, you know, probably one of three responses. If it was something really cool and interesting, I may say, well, here, come over here. Let me show you. I'm check this out. Sometimes, though, I might have responded, well, you know, nothing, because it was nothing. I was just daydreaming. Or maybe I might reply, oh, nothing, because I didn't want to own up to what it was that I was looking at. Guys, this idea of what we look at, right, what we set our minds on, what we fix our eyes on in life is not just a question that parents ask a daydreaming child. It is a question that God repeatedly asks us in His Word. Ethan, what are you looking at? What are you setting your mind upon, right? What are you fixing your eyes upon and opening your heart to? Guys, this idea of setting our minds, of intentionally choosing what we focus upon, it's incredibly important. It's almost impossible to overstate its importance, especially in times like we're in right now. You see, it's a biblical theme, but it's actually increasingly also a big theme and a thing that you see a lot in modern psychology and therapeutic practices and mental health. And it's this idea of mindfulness, of being intentionally self-aware and situationally aware of the things that are going on in us and around us. And I think for the most part, that's a really good idea. You know, a lack of self-awareness is a big problem in our society today. But friends, just being situationally and self-aware is a far cry yet from the idea of setting our mind, setting our heart, that Scripture calls to us with. You know, one way, or really one step forward that we see in Scripture, just beyond being self-aware, is being other-aware, right? Being aware of other people's value, of their needs, and how our words and our actions impact them, because we have a God-given desire to make people's lives better, right? To show them God's goodness by how we relate to them, right? Because as new creations in Christ, the only way that we will genuinely have an appropriate and healthy awareness of self and awareness of how our lives impact others is if we make the choice, right? Consistently, the choice to be aware of Christ, Christ awareness, and who He is, right? Church, in these times of uncertainty, when fear and anxiety, right, and stress are knocking at our door, demanding that we open it and let them into our lives, we have the choice of where we set our minds daily. Sometimes moment by moment, God calls us to fix our eyes upon the truth of who Christ is, who we are in Him, and how Christ Himself is the very source from which we live and we have peace and hope and courage. So what we're going to do is look at this idea from several passages of Scripture, and we're going to start with Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And I've asked my good friend Matt Wyatt to read this for us. And like many of you, Matt has a full household. So Matt, thank you very much. And if you would read this passage for us.
Hello, Trinity Church family. This is Matthew Wyatt, and I am reading Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 from the ESV Bible. And it says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace."
Thank you, Matt. Okay, let's look at that passage of Scripture. And I want to start by just remembering what the flesh is, right? We've talked about this a lot over the years, because the flesh is the strategy of when we try to live out of our own wisdom, our own strength, right? Where we place ourselves at the center of life. And in uncertain times, like we're in now, what does our flesh desire, right? What does our flesh want to fixate on? Well, I'll tell you a few things. It wants control, right? It wants certainty. It wants answers. It wants to know what is going to happen. You know, often our flesh wants to blame, you know, wants maybe to point the finger, maybe to be angry. And for most of us, at all times, our flesh is looking for a way to stress out, to have anxiety, and to be afraid. Because in contrast to that, what does the Spirit of Christ within us desire? Well, he desires hope, right? To trust that God is good, that God holds the big picture, or this is teaching us right now that we don't, but that he does. The Spirit desires wisdom and courage, forgiveness, love. Friends, the Spirit of Christ within us, in all things, desires for us to be thankful. I didn't say for all things, but in the midst of all things, to be thankful, to believe that God is at work, that he is teaching us, calling us to obedience to him and the work that he is doing. And friends, the Spirit of Christ within us is always leading us to seek him first, right? His kingdom and his righteousness. You know, Paul goes on here in this passage to talk about what governs our mind. That's a really interesting concept, right? What governs us is the authority that we look to, that we submit to, that we obey. You know, we're not gathered in Edwards today because our government has put out an edict, a directive with the force of law that if at all possible, we're to stay in our homes, right? And so we are being obedient to that. Because if the Spirit within us is who we look to govern our minds, right? To direct us, to guide us, what directives does the Spirit give? What directives does the Spirit give? Just a few thoughts. And I have scripture for all of these, by the way, at the bottom of the, below the video here in my message notes. I encourage you to go and look at all of these. Because the Spirit, if he is who governs us, is always guiding us to throw off the sin that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. The Spirit is going to direct us when we grieve. And because there are people who are grieving today in this valley, because of what has happened with this outbreak. When we grieve, to be people who grieve with hope, the Spirit directs us to forgive, even as we have been forgiven. Friends, if the Spirit is governing our minds, he is going to be guiding us to love each other deeply from the heart, or to be kind, to be patient, to listen, and to love. The Spirit within us will guide us to live lives of rich generosity and overflowing joy, even in the midst, Scripture says, in this amazing example that we see in the Corinthian letters, even in the midst of severe trial and extreme poverty. Friends, the Spirit will lead us to bind up the grief and provide comfort to the hearts of the brokenhearted. The Spirit is going to lead us to set aside pride and to surrender and come before the throne of grace confidently that we may receive help in our time of need. And friends, the Spirit within us, as we submit ourselves, and it is the Spirit that is governing us, he is going to lead us to do the will of God because we want to, not because we have to, serving wholeheartedly because we are serving the Lord and not men. And there's so many more examples we could give of that. But guys, what is the point that this scripture is making? It's that when we choose to set our minds on the Spirit of Christ within us, we are choosing for him to be what governs us. And when we do this, my friends, this is the door that God opens wide into experiencing his peace and his hope and his courage in our lives. Now, the next passage that I want us to look at is out of Hebrews, a passage we look at a lot. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And Tim and Melinda Carlson are going to read this for us. Tim, if you will.
Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. God's discipline proves his love. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't be weary and give up.
Thank you, Tim and Melinda. Man, that's such an amazing passage of scripture, and we reverence it a lot here at Trinity. But there's just one thing I want to focus on from it right now, and this is the idea of fixing our eyes. You know, think of that image. Guys, to fix our eyes, this isn't just an occasional glance. It's not just a momentary action. Rather, it is an ongoing choice of great intention. You know, it reminds me of when I have the joy and the privilege of getting up in the high country and going hunting and going elk hunting. Emphasis on the word hunting. But just the thing that I love is, you know, I'm up there on the side of a mountain. A lot of y'all have done this. And you've got a spot that you're sitting and you're waiting and you're watching, you know, hoping that the animals are going to come by. And you got to fix your eyes. I mean, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, especially if it's a beautiful sunny day. But you can't be distracted, because if you don't constantly like listen and focus your attention on the field that is laid out in front of you, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what it is that you're looking for. You know, and for me, when I'm in that place, you know what I am prone to do? I'm prone to go to sleep, to take a nap. That is such a picture, at least as I think of it. You know, I'm reminded of the old hymn, Come Thou Fount. Some of y'all know this. And there's a line in it that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Right? Lord, let your grace, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to you. Church, especially in this time now, may we choose to fix our eyes. Right? It doesn't happen by accident. To fix our eyes, our hearts, upon Jesus, who he is, his truth, and his peace. As the scripture says, and now I'm quoting it out of the NIV, may we consider him, consider Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. That we will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. Amen. Just one more passage of scripture I want us to look at, and I've asked Larry Dutmer if he would read to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Larry, if you would.
Hi, I'm Larry Dutmer. This reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Thank you, Larry. Okay, church. What is the truth that God is showing us here, right? This amazing truth on which we set our minds and set our hearts, as Paul says. Well, the first thing that he tells us is that we have been raised with Christ. And the tense of the Greek here is that it is a done deal. This is a completed work that God has done, right? We are not alone. We are new creations, children of God, co-heirs and brothers and sisters together with Christ, right? Not just in heaven when we die, but right now. Paul goes on and says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Guys, that is a picture of completeness, of a victory. Well, where are we in that equation? Well, guys, scripture says that spiritually, the ultimate reality in which we live, we are right there with them. Already, we are there. In Ephesians 2:6, Paul says this. You can go look this up. He says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Right? So that is where God invites us to set our minds, and where our hope and our peace may flow from, our union and our identity with Christ. Paul goes on and he says that we died, right? That when we placed our faith in Christ, We died. The person that we used to be is no longer who we are, because the old is gone and the new has come. And our lives now, Paul says, are hidden together with Christ. Right? That's an image that we are inseparably linked together with him, because then, as Paul concludes, Christ is our life. Guys, that is an objective truth for you if you are a believer. Christ is your life. But not only that, in addition to all of this, we also have the hope that we will be joined together with him forever in eternity in his glory, right? Be it through his return or our own death, right? Whatever may take us out eventually, be it COVID-19, old age, who knows? We have that hope. Guys, just to restate myself, friends, that's a powerful hope. That is a powerful hope. That is life. Christ is the certain truth on whom we have the choice to set our minds. And guys, as a church, as individuals, as families, and as the Trinity family, one step at a time, in this strange time in which we now live, may we make that choice to fix our eyes, to set our hope, to set our hearts, to set our minds on Jesus Christ, because he is our life. Okay, guys, I just want to wrap this all up by sharing a few practical thoughts about this idea of setting our minds. You know, one way that we set our minds upon Christ is by taking away the unhealthy things that we know are distracting us, right? Turning off that which isn't healthy. I don't think I need to belabor that. We all know what it is, okay? That's a choice we can make. Listen, in my own life, just a little word here. There is a certain news aggregator website that for years I have looked at every day, sometimes multiple times a day, like an addiction. My brain just needs to know what's going on. Listen, it's been hard, and I've had to be very intentional about it and pull my hands away from my mouse on my computer a few times. But I have not opened that website to look at all that news and the headlines that are biased in a sensational way, okay, in almost 2 weeks now. It's been hard, but I don't need that, right? If I need to know something, I'm going to know it. It's going to be made known to us. We're gonna find out the important things. Let's be on guard, like take care of where we set our minds and what we take into our minds that isn't healthy. You know, just another thing during this time is to start to develop spiritual habits. I'm thinking about this myself. Maybe an increased sense of personal prayer, right? Maybe family prayer, right? Reading, listening to scripture. You know, call me, talk to me. We can help you get equipped. Nikki has amazing resources to help you get equipped and take advantage of some of this extra time that we have now in terms of developing spiritual habits. You know, another thing is cultivating healthy relationships with other believers. You know, online now, but in person again in the future, to seek out ways, right, purposefully, that we encourage one another. And guys, just the last thing here, when fear does arise, right, when anxiety is knocking at our door and we open it, and we know we do, and we let it in, to stop, think, and take those thoughts, as scripture says, captive to Christ. Take those thoughts captive to him. Present it to God. Be honest about our anxiety, about our fear, right? To give thanks to God for how he is working in us, right? What he's teaching us, just that he is present. And if he doesn't feel like he's present, just to continually ask God to show us and reveal to us his presence. Because there's so many more things that we could talk about there. And as you go on this journey, if there's something that God is showing you that you're really using in your own life to be encouraged, to push anxiety away, to look with hope into the future, I encourage you to share that with me so that maybe I can turn around and share it with others, or you just share it with the people that you have in your own life.